Thanks so much, Jen. And thank you, Matt, for trying to figure out our sound system. And thank you, Janine, for being brave enough to be our leader today. And thank you, Eloise, for getting the music organized. And thanks to all of you for being here today. And I'm glad that those of you connected through Zoom and on your phones are here as well. It is good to be here during this Lenten season. My sermon today is titled, Who is He? Who is Jesus? Is he a great Christian leader, a fanatic, the founder of a religion, a moral teacher, a victim of violence, a great man? I'm reading from Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is Paul's meditation on the greatness of Jesus Christ and his work. Paul shares that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He indeed is the firstborn over all creation. All things were created through him and for him. Paul gives thanks for his plan of redemption. Peek shares that God is invisible, which does not merely mean that he cannot be seen by our bodily eye, but that he is unknowable. And in the exalted Christ, the unknowable becomes known. People who saw Christ and walked with Christ and listened to him and watched him knew that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Take a moment and think, if people are watching and listening to you, do they know that you are a follower of Christ? This willingness to share about Jesus from Paul is a complete 180 from what he had been sharing earlier in his life. I'm reading from Acts 9, 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, that he may take them to be a prisoner in Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. Saul, a Pharisee and a very angry man who was motivated by false beliefs, had the opportunity to ask, Who are you, Lord? This angry man who had been threatening and imprisoning all the believers he could find, the Christians who were running from Jerusalem, this man got to ask, Who are you, Lord? The angry man, who had an amazing education for that time, was filled with hatred, and he was traveling to Damascus to capture Christians who were hiding there. He had the opportunity to ask, Who are you, Lord? He asked while lying on a dusty road, as the light had fallen on him and he had fallen onto the road. The light was so bright that Saul was blinded for 3 days following that event. A miracle was occurring. And Jesus responded, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." Like Saul, we do the same things at times. We hear false things. We hear things that hurt us. And then we begin to think hurtful things. And perhaps we begin to say bad things. Maybe it's to defend ourselves. Maybe it's to help ourselves to feel better. But why do we do these things? We can be assured that Jesus is a bright reflection of God the Father within us. And we need to try to be more like Jesus. We need to know who he is. The only way to have correct information is to discover and to believe the truth. Turn to your Bibles. Search the source of all the truth in God's word. He has written a love letter to us. It tells us of the many amazing things about Jesus. It was Luke, the physician, who wrote the book of Acts to share how the Christian faith was spreading. Saul's conversation is shared in chapter 9. Saul, now called Paul, describes Jesus as being before all created things and shares that Jesus is being of a different order than all created. Paul became a great preacher, spreading the news of Jesus and going on to write 13 books that are within the New Testament. Paul wrote Colossians as he was in prison in Rome about AD 60. He wanted to record and share how Jesus is wonderfully supreme and he is able to save us completely from sin. He saves us from sin. The following are prophecies fulfilled by the birth, life, and death. Just a few of the prophecies about the birth, life, and death of our Messiah. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, written at 741 BC. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, "Now all this happened in order to make true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God is with us. His place of birth. Micah, written in 710 BC, Micah 5, verse 2, "The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel whose family line goes back to ancient times." And Matthew chapter 2, verse 1a, "Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king." Jesus would learn the woodworking trade of his father. He would become a teacher, a rabbi. A rabbi was the term meaning great one. It was a term of respect. His students became passionately devoted to him. They would listen to him, watch him, imitate him as he interpreted the Torah. We read about the beginning of Jesus' preaching in Matthew 4, 12 through 16. Listen to what the people were like where and when he began to preach. "When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by a lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali. The way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness has seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Another prophecy fulfilled, reading about how his people would reject him. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, this was written in 712 BC. "We despised him and rejected him. He endured suffering and pain. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing." Jesus' rejection is noted in John chapter 1, verse 11. "He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him." Within Isaiah, there are many names to show that God is holy, God is judge, God is our salvation. God is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and Sovereign God. These verses from the Old Testament were written about 700 years before Jesus was born. Chapter 53 in Isaiah is about Jesus' death and burial. It explains that Jesus dies. He died for our sins. Isaiah 53, verses 1, 2, and 3. It is subtitled, "How Man Saw the Suffering Messiah." "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." I wondered many times, how could the Son of God, who came to cleanse our sins and give us the opportunity for salvation, fall under such suffering times? It was prophesied. And so the Messiah knew that these tough times, this time of suffering, would occur. The power and strength of the Messiah would be covered by the agony and suffering to come. People lost sight of who Jesus was as they were viewing the suffering. He would be glorious and rare, like a flowering plant growing where no one would expect it to grow. He would look like an ordinary man who would be rejected by men. He would display joy and be filled with humility. He would know sorrow and grief. People would hide their faces from him. This is all written in Isaiah. How could such rejection occur to the Messiah? Created, accepted unconditionally by God. He never felt sorry for himself. His sorrow was always for others, especially those living within the realm of desperate human conditions. Pastor David Guzik writes, "Because there was nothing outwardly or charismatic about the Messiah, mankind's reaction was to withdraw from him, to despise him, to hold him in low esteem. This shows that men value physical beauty and charisma far more than God does. And when we don't see it, we can reject the ones God accepts. We value what is seen." When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we gain peace and knowledge that we should not judge others by how they look. And Jen's prayer request is a reminder. Judging others by how they look, it happens all the time. Our beauty shines in knowing that we are God's children. Others see a glorious light in you when you reconcile with them, when you love them, and when you help them. Without our great Redeemer, Jesus would not be fully able to give thanks to the Father for his plan of redemption, which is offered to all of us freely. 1 Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. God is fully revealed in Jesus. Jesus is God as God the Father is God. When we give thanks for our blessings and for all of creation, we give glory to the world that Jesus has created. He created it all. May we all enjoy what he has created. This ability to find joy and peace was made for us through the work of Jesus' life and his work on the cross. May we always faithfully and joyfully worship and honor him. He is our Father. We've been working on a prayer style called the Acts prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. As I begin my prayer, I will start the sayings and give a response, but then I will allow for a pause for you to think and add to the prayer what is your need and what is your desire as we turn to God in prayer. Dear Lord, you, Lord, are a wonderful Father. Please forgive us for not trusting you totally with some situations. We thank you for this Wellspring Church, for the sunshine yesterday, for the rain today, for Ellen sharing her prayer request with us this morning. We ask you for healing where it is needed and for the courage to share about your love with others. Father, wherever we go, whatever we do, may we find refuge in you. Thank you that we do not have to worry about tomorrow, as you are always with us. Thank you for being our loving Father. Work in our hearts and in our lives as we prepare for Easter in the coming weeks. In your precious name, amen.